talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I got a great message from Bruce in Ennis, Montana. You guys know me. I don't really know all the Avengers movies, Marvel Comics, DC. I don't know which one is which, or even if I'm watching one of these movies, like one of these Avengers movies, I'm like, okay, which one is this? Where are we at in the timeline? You know, my wife and kids love all the movies. They know where we're at. So I'm like, okay, what am I watching? Where are they? What's happening? So I don't know anything about a lot of these Marvel comics or DC comics movies, whatever they are. But anyway, Bruce and Ennis sent a message here. There was a line in Captain America: Civil War. You can destroy a group from the outside, but it will come back. But to destroy it from the inside, that is complete. It will never survive. Anyway, what a message. Let me read that again for you here, because we can see what's going on right now. We can see what looks like, basically a war on American soil. If you watched or listened to any of this footage off the UCLA campus earlier this morning, you know, if you heard the flashbangs going off, the rubber bullets being fired, or if you saw the video footage of the all-out brawl that was taking place on this encampment of these pro-Hamas terrorist sympathizers on the UCLA campus. Man, it looks like war on the streets in L.A. once again, doesn't it? And we know that George Soros and Rockefeller, they're all funding all of these anti-Semitic protests and these pro-Hamas sympathizers. And but anyway, let me read this quote again from Bruce in Ennis. You can destroy a group from the outside, but it will come back. But to destroy it from the inside, that is complete. It will never survive. They are deliberately trying to destroy this country from within right now. A lot of people have asked this question. Why is it that you'll have, I mean, one of the people who was front and center at the pro-Hamas terrorist sympathizer rally on the University of Montana campus in Missoula yesterday was Zoe Zephyr. The dude who identifies as a woman, the radical transgender lawmaker from Missoula. Why would a transgender lawmaker be at a pro-Hamas terrorist sympathizer rally in Missoula? See, because they both are temporary allies with the same goal. They want to transform America into something else. Now, that something else might be different for Zoe Zephyr compared to the Hamas sympathizers, but it is a different America nonetheless. By the way, I saw some other photographs of the protesters, the pro-Hamas terrorist sympathizer protesters at UM yesterday. And, of course, there were John Tester's supporters were there. There were some John Tester campaign signs at the pro-Hamas rally at the UM campus as well yesterday. Okay, quick break here on the show. We've got the phone lines open for you right now if you got something you want to talk about. 406-294-0970. I've got one guest booked for the next 2 hours, and it's not till 8:40, and it's a great guest. Sam Faddis, former CIA operations officer, back with us talking China, Joe, and Mo at 8:40.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Joe prepares to surrender to Beijing. So Sam Faddis is a former CIA operations officer, had a career in the CIA. He's now got a website, a blog, a commentary publication called AND Magazine, A-N-D Magazine. And anyway, I've told you this before. I signed up for his newsletter because he's always cranking out such great information. I mean, at the start of this invasion on our southern border, he was the first to get out there and prominently say, hey, this is who is funding this effort. Who is funding these migrant caravans? Here you go. And what he did was he went and looked at news publications in Central America and South America, where they were openly reporting who was funding and promoting these so-called migrant caravans transporting these illegal aliens up here to the United States of America. But anyway, he's got his latest piece here. Joe prepares to surrender to Beijing. And he's talking about how the Biden administration is negotiating an agreement with the World Health Organization to promote global health equity. This agreement will subordinate Americans to the WHO, an international body. The WHO will be empowered to call the shots and to override American law whenever it decides there is some sort of global health emergency. Joe knows that the Senate would never approve this agreement, which is clearly a treaty and requires Senate approval per the Constitution. He is billing it, therefore, as simply an agreement of some sort and intends to bypass the people's elected representatives completely. The agreement, though, contains a plethora of provisions so outrageous they're almost impossible to believe. Here's just one of them, and we'll talk more with Sam Faddis later this hour of the show. In the event of an emergency declared by the WHO, the United States will be required to hand over 20% of its medical supplies to the WHO for global distribution. And then, of course, the WHO will decide which countries get which supplies. And then there's more that he outlines here. Of course, the head of the WHO was installed according to the instructions with the strong support of Communist China. That's who is in charge of the WHO right now. And we saw this during COVID-19, right? We saw that you had a Communist Chinese installed leader at the WHO trying to call the shots and lead the global response to COVID-19, which is why it was so tragic and so destructive. He concludes his piece by saying this: many have wondered for a long time what the tens of millions of dollars that flowed to the Bidens from Communist China bought. Perhaps now we have our answer. Joe Biden is getting ready to turn over American sovereignty to an international body run by a puppet of the CCP. He is preparing to sign his surrender document and hand effective control over your civil liberties to China. So, yeah, like I mentioned, Sam Faddis will be with us here in a few minutes. Gordon Chang is a China foreign policy expert. He was actually on with Laura Ingraham last night, and they were talking about how, you know, even the FBI is now warning. I'll just give you the quick little summary. So Laura Ingraham was pointing out how even the FBI director is warning about potential interference from China in 2024. And then Gordon Chang, who is this China policy expert, made the point that, well, of course, Beijing needs another Biden presidency.
Well, you know, we don't have to speculate about this, Laura, because we know that in 2020, Beijing used TikTok, other social media platforms, and text messaging to sabotage the Trump campaign. And they were successful. So, you know, we heard Avril Haines, who's the director of national intelligence, about a month ago talk about them using TikTok in the upcoming election. This is going to happen because Beijing knows that it's critical. They need to have another Biden presidency. You know, in November of 2020, just 3 weeks after Biden was elected, the Chinese were openly bragging that they could control Biden. And they said, look, we couldn't do that during the Trump era. This is very clear. You know, it's clear where Beijing stands on all this.
Remember when Milley Gordon was calling over to his Chinese counterpart, General Milley, and saying, we got it. Don't say I'm paraphrasing, but essentially, we got it. Don't worry. Nothing's going to happen. I mean, this is the close relationship that they seem to have, like interceding for Biden by calling the Chinese. Actually, this is before a vote was cast.
Yeah. Anyway, great point there by both Gordon Chang and by Laura Ingraham. But case in point, look at this conversation we had on the show yesterday. I played audio of Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke going after the head of the Biden EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency administrator, got busted for lying about Colstrip, Montana. And Ryan Zinke, in a tense back and forth, went after this EPA administrator, who, by the way, has never even visited Colstrip, Montana, or even Montana. And then the EPA administrator gives this pretentious response to Congressman Ryan Zinke. But the point that Zinke was making is, here you go. You've got the Biden tester regime pushing these new regulations that will completely shut down the coal-fired power plant in Colstrip, Montana. The same people that want you driving more electric vehicles to ship more of your money to China, because that's who benefits from this. And here they are. They want to shut down Colstrip. They're lying about Colstrip, Montana, but they don't say squat about all of the coal-fired power plants being built in China every single week. Completely handing everything over to the communist Chinese. It's shameful. All right, phone lines are open for you. Back after this. Crazy story. So Donald Trump Jr. spoke with the godson of liberal Senator John Tester. His godson says that John Tester is not the same man he was 25 years ago. On top of that, Tester hasn't even met nor spoken with his own godson in over 7 years. He's changed. Number one recipient of lobbyist cash and more. Check out that full video. Go to MontanaTalks.com or see it on the Montana Talks app on your phone.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, what's the story with Venezuelan illegal aliens being dumped in the Flathead Valley? Well, stand by. We might have some info for you here from a very credible source. Stand by. Hold on, I got to send this text message here so that we can line this one up for you. All right, okay, that message is sent. All right, let's jump back into it here. 406-294-0970, the number for you. President Trump got, they let him out of the political persecution trial for one day, apparently, at least a day or so. What a contrast, huh? What a contrast. I mean, we see this war on American streets. We saw it with the BLM riots of 2020, and now it's another presidential election year. So the same Soros-funded groups are back out there trying to start another war in American streets, aren't they, once again? If you saw any of the footage or heard any of the news stories out of the UCLA campus, the all-out brawl, the melee that took place on that campus as these leftist college administrators allowed these encampments to continue to grow and build, threatening, harassing, intimidating Jewish college students, allowing gas masks to be brought onto their campus for these pro-Hamas terrorist sympathizers, allowing 2x4s to be brought on. They're constructing, lawless zone style encampments on the UCLA campus. But it's such a contrast where they lock President Trump up in a courtroom so he can't go out there and campaign and save our country. Although actually I think they're helping him, oddly enough. And then they allow this war in our American streets on our college campuses. It's like that protester said the other day. I mean, he straight up said it. He said that he was asked by a Fox News reporter, well, what are you going to do if they arrest you? He said, well, just like the criminals on the subway, we'll be back out on the streets in 24 hours, so no big deal. And that's what they do. They put the criminals back out on the streets. They allow these lawless encampments, threatening, harassing, and intimidating Jewish students to fester. But they want to lock President Trump up in a political persecution trial in New York. But think about the contrast here. We've got what looks like war on American streets under Joe Biden and John Tester. We were starting to see peace under Trump. We were starting to see peace because of Trump. Look, I was over in the Middle East when Donald J. Trump was president of the United States. And he allowed military commanders to start getting the job done and make decisions. And what ended up happening? Wow. All of a sudden, Donald Trump is helping to broker peace agreement after peace agreement after peace agreement with Israel and all these Arab countries. But now we've got, you know, a war in the Middle East causing a war on American streets. One of these protests, it was interesting because there was a rare moment of solidarity where both sides, the pro-Israel crowd and the anti-Israel crowd, both started chanting FJB, F Joe Biden. And that got me thinking that, you know, there is an interesting way to look at what's going on in America right now. Now, I think most of these so-called protesters, most of these so-called rioters, they are Soros and Rockefeller-funded agitators. They are paid to go in there, just like the organized protests against the Keystone Pipeline and the DAPL Pipeline and everything else. These are outside agitators that are being paid to go in there and stoke violence and to stoke anti-Israel, anti-American sentiment, and they want to fan the flames of hatred amongst Americans. But I know that within these protest groups, there are normal people who simply, you know, claim to be pro-peace, right? Like, there could be one of them who was at the University of Montana campus yesterday who maybe they also were against the Hamas terror attacks of October 7th, but they also don't like the war to take out the terrorists in response. And we might disagree with them on that, but I think we can respectfully disagree with them on that point. But here's the larger point here, which is if these people actually want peace, if these people actually want an end to everything, you know, to all this violence and destruction that's going on, they, like you, like we do, they should want Donald Trump back in the White House. Now, I know they probably suffer from Trump derangement syndrome, and so they'll never get to that point where they realize it. But if they were being honest, if they actually cared about peace, they would want Donald Trump back in the White House. But I mentioned, you know, Donald Trump, he got to, they let him out of the political persecution trial for at least one day. And he had a rally, I think it was in the state of Wisconsin. I put together a little montage as I was scrolling through the Fox News radio sound bites that were available earlier this morning.
Well, you know, they're trying this weaponization of the Justice Department. So far, that hasn't been working too well because we have the highest poll numbers we've ever had. People get it. Joe Biden wants to take your gasoline-powered cars and trucks all about within 6 years. He wants to make them electric. It doesn't work. To every college president, I say remove the encampments immediately, vanquish the radicals, and take back our campuses for all of the normal students who want a safe place from which to learn. On day one of my new administration, I will seal the border, stop the invasion, and send Joe Biden's illegal aliens back home where they belong. Some people are unhappy because it's too liberal a policy or too conservative a policy, but we brought it back into the states where it has to be, and over a period of time that works out, and it's taken a lot of the controversy out, and it's been a good thing. And you also have to remember, as a politician, you also have to get elected.
All right, that last soundbite there from President Trump, he was talking about the topic of abortion and how he was saying, yeah, some people think it's too conservative, some people don't think it's conservative enough, but basically he was kind of making the point of how he's trying to remove that flashpoint from the election so we can focus on the real topics at hand, which are, you know, the crazy open borders and this invasion taking place here in America, and then, of course, the inflation that we're seeing because of Joe Biden and John Tester and the Bidenomics policies that are driving up the cost of everything here in America right now. Tied in, by the way, with this Trump political persecution trial in New York City, I saw this story earlier this morning at FoxNews.com. GOP in battleground states rip Trump trial judge's dangerous ruling. The judge presiding over former President Donald Trump's ongoing New York City trial is taking heat from a rare coalition formed to jointly condemn his dangerous gag order ruling that they say poses a dire threat to our democracy. So there's a group of Republican U.S. Senate candidates who are standing up with President Trump and who are calling out this left-wing federal judge in New York City. I'm sorry, he's not a federal judge. That's right, because they're trying to prosecute him on a federal charge, but they're doing it in a state court, of course. So, yeah, this lawless judge in New York City. The group, made up mostly of prominent Republican candidates running in battleground states, crucial to flipping the Senate red in November, includes Pennsylvania's Dave McCormick, candidate out of Wisconsin, Ohio's Bernie Moreno, Michigan's Mike Rogers, Arizona's Kerry Lake, Indiana's Jim Banks, Nevada's Sam Brown, West Virginia's Jim Justice, and of course, Montana's Tim Sheehy. All of them signed on to a joint statement condemning Judge Juan Merchan's imposition of the unconstitutional gag order, which Trump himself has called election interference. Here's what they wrote. They said, quote, "We have deep concerns regarding the gag order imposed on President Trump as it fundamentally violates constitutional principles and threatens the very essence of freedom of speech and expression in the middle of an election." So, yeah, that headline at FoxNews.com, GOP and battleground states rip Trump trial judge's dangerous ruling. Hey, I see we got Sam Faddis on the phone lines already, so hopefully he's ready to start with it. Sam, do you want to just start the conversation early? Does that work for you?
Yeah, I guess that means I'm calling in early.
Yeah, just a few minutes, but that's all right. We got about 90 seconds before our first break here. I want to talk about your piece talking about Joe Biden, China, and the WHO, but man, just your take on these pro-Hamas terrorist sympathizer protests on these college campuses.
Well, look, I'm sure that the average person sitting around smoking a joint on a college campus who has no real clue even why they're out there other than they're cutting class. But the guys behind this, the guys and gals behind this are very serious and they have a very explicit agenda. And, yeah, these are basically pro-Hamas front groups operating all across the United States, and apparently, I guess the FBI is busy busting Moms for Liberty today, so they don't have time to do anything about this.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, peaceful pro-life protesters could be praying outside of an abortion clinic, and they'll throw them in the slammer. Yeah. But you know, hey, here's your gas mask, here's your plywood, here's your 2x4s, here's your baseball bats. Have fun at UCLA, right?
Yeah, I think that. Was watching the news here live. I guess they're going into or getting ready to go into the library at Portland State as well right now to chase these guys out.
Wow. Yeah, Portland State, I believe that's a Big Sky Conference school there that we would play in sports with our Montana teams. All right. Sam Faddis, former CIA operations officer. He's got AND Magazine, AND Magazine. Joe prepares to surrender to Beijing. He's going to break it down for us here right after this quick break on Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, real quick. Hey, I opened up the show this hour by talking about a message I got from Bruce in Ennis. Bruce shared a quote from the movie Captain America: Civil War. "You can destroy a group from the outside, but it will come back. But to destroy it from the inside, that is complete. It will never survive." Shane in East Helena, he disagrees. He did say, "Good morning and mega dittos, Aaron. I don't believe that at all. To destroy us from within is final or whatever. It's not final. We went through one civil war and came out the other side just fine. We could do it again. I've said since the old Bummer administration, divided we stand, divided we fall, but together again through the ashes we shall rise again." That's what Shane in East Helena had to say. All right, let's jump right back into it here. We've got retired CIA operations officer Sam Faddis joining us now on the show. He also headed up their CWMD outfit, their counter weapons of mass destruction outfit at the CIA as well. And Sam, it's always great to get your insight on this show. Joe Biden prepares to surrender to Beijing. What's the story here?
So the Biden administration is preparing to sign on to what they describe as an agreement, and they use that terminology deliberately because if they admit that it's a treaty, that legally they have to submit it to the United States Senate for ratification per the Constitution. So to begin with, they have this completely disingenuous characterization of this thing as if it's some sort of minor international agreement that doesn't require approval. Basically, it is an agreement that will give the World Health Organization, part of the United Nations, completely unprecedented authority over all of the signatories, including the United States. So a whole raft of provisions. But one of the things it says is anytime the WHO, the World Health Organization, decides. So this is an unelected international body that works for the United Nations, not representative in any sense of the American people. Whenever that body decides that there is some sort of health emergency or pandemic, it triggers all kinds of provisions. It gives them immense authority. And according to the agreement, that will somehow magically supersede the sovereignty of all nations that are signed on. So in the case of the United States, the World Health Organization's rules then trump American law and the decisions of elected officials. So it begins with things like whenever they say there's a health emergency, the United States of America must turn over 20% of all of its medical supplies to the World Health Organization, and they'll give them to whoever they want. The World Health Organization will effectively tax all the signatories. You can guess who's going to be the biggest taxpayer in that system. And then they decide, this unelected body of international bureaucrats decide where the money goes. It gives them authority to counter disinformation, whatever the heck that means, but it sounds very ominous. Effectively, it says whenever the World Health Organization declares a health emergency, its rules and its decisions trump all national law, and they get to tell everyone in the United States what to do and declare health rules and so forth. So keep in mind that all of that already sounds horrifying and stupid enough. But this guy is run, this whole body is run by a guy named Tedros, who's from Ethiopia, and he is a former member of actually two different Ethiopian insurgent groups, both of which were characterized by the U.S. government at various points as terrorist organizations. And he's an avowed Maoist, as in Mao Zedong, and he basically takes his orders directly from the Chinese Communist Party. So when you boil all that down, what this agreement will say is that a guy who works for the Chinese Communists in Beijing will now be handed the authority to supersede and overrule all the decisions of elected officials at the state and federal level. So it is a surrender document, a completely mad idea, and yet it's going to be voted on in May in Geneva.
This is crazy. I don't know why. I mean, here we have an actual guy, a guy who is actually part of a terrorist organization that is now running the world. I mean, even if it was a good guy running the World Health Organization, this type of an agreement would be outrageous. But then on top of that, you have basically a guy who's in the back pocket of the communist Chinese, just like so many of these WHO leaders have been. And was part of a terrorist group who's now basically going to be calling the shots. I mean, it would be outrageous even if a good guy was running the WHO.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and to give you, I mean, there are endless number of vignettes here, but to just give you an idea of this guy Tedros and how insane this is, after he became director general, which is the official title, the head of World Health Organization, with sponsorship by the Communist Chinese. He was installed in that position by the Chinese Communist Party. One of the first things he did is he named Robert Mugabe to be like the goodwill, I think the official title is goodwill ambassador for WHO. Okay, Mugabe was for a very long time the ruler of Zimbabwe after the white minority was overthrown there. Mugabe's a communist. Mugabe slaughtered his political opponents for decades, irregardless of their skin color. Ruled with an iron hand. There was no democracy there. He was an incredibly brutal and very overtly racist guy. He did not come to power in, you know, what was then Rhodesia and became Zimbabwe and usher in an era of now, let's all get along, skin color doesn't matter. His whole rule was about crushing the whites and then crushing every black political opponent. So this is a guy dripping in blood, a brutal guy, a pariah amongst black African states. I mean, everybody detested this guy. That's the dude that Tedros picked to be his right-hand man as his goodwill ambassador. That's the literal title. So, I mean, there's no ambiguity about this guy. By the way, Tedros is not a doctor. He has no medical training. And despite that, after his revolutionary group took over in Ethiopia, they made him health minister. And his claim to fame as health minister was that he presided over a disastrous response to three separate cholera epidemics that got a whole bunch of Ethiopians killed that didn't need to die, basically because he kept pretending that the epidemic didn't exist.
Wow. So they ignore real world epidemics, but then prop up overplay lesser threats, shall we say. I had to laugh when you talked about how he's got no medical experience, but yet has been picked to head up the World Health Organization, because we had some of these county health officers that also were not doctors, but they had this, they had similar Maoist credentials. I mean, they weren't responsible for, they weren't terrorist dictators in African countries, but they had Maoist tendencies, shall we say. But no medical credentials, but yet they were the county health officers ushering in the COVID lockdowns.
Yeah, look, everything about this is insane, and there are points at which you can't help but laugh, because not because it's really funny, but because it's so mad that you've got to be, you've got that urge to say, okay, wait a minute, you're pulling my leg, right? You're kidding me. You're telling me you're going to put a Maoist, Marxist, lackey of communist China, who's also demonstrated that he's completely incompetent. That guy will now have the authority to supersede all federal and state law in the United States, and American citizens will be required, according to this agreement, to take orders from him, which means take orders from Beijing. That you can't seriously be saying that, but that's actually what they're doing. And in fact, in the Senate, there's a push now by Republican senators to say, look, man, whatever you sign has to come to the Senate per that thing we call the Constitution. It doesn't mean anything unless we ratify it. And the Democratic Party is actually pushing back on that. They're resisting having the Senate review it or vote. They just want King Biden to be able to sign away your national sovereignty.
That's right.
And surrender to the Chinese.
And we've got the most important Senate race in the country right now. And here you go, Senate Democrats opposing something as simple as requiring Senate approval of an agreement that would hand over our sovereignty, hand over medical supplies to other countries. And Liberal Senator John Tester, Democrat Senator John Tester, has, of course, been in lockstep agreement with his party leadership on this front. Quick break. Back with more. Sam, if you can stick around, stand by.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I got to start the show and tip my hat to New York and the NYPD. When I started Hannity last night, the police had already arrived on the campus of Columbia University. And right at the top of my show at 9 o'clock, they began getting into Hamilton Hall, which had been taken over, I guess, by the Hamas wing of students at Columbia, the radicals on campus there. Now, I know a lot of cop haters out there. You know, you're never going to praise the police. Of course, you don't. If there's one bad apple, one rotten cop, you know, then that's all you hear about. It's reported on day after day after day after day after day.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle, unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ThePeople.com for an office near you.
Wow, what a show on Monday's Montana Talks. We had highlights, Donald Trump Jr., Tim Sheehy, and more from Sunday's event in Missoula, Montana. Plus, I got to catch up with Lieutenant Colonel Ivan Raiklin, retired Green Beret, who was traveling to Billings, Montana, with General Michael Flynn. And then a lineup of incredible phone calls from all across Montana. That's always the best part, taking your phone calls, getting a chance to hear from you. Montana
is approved by Kyle Austin.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend, studio. This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hi, thankfully, retired CIA operations officer Sam Faddis able to stick around with us for just a few minutes, but we've only got a quick few minutes left here this hour of the show, so let's sneak in a quick phone call here as well. Sean in Libby, did you have a quick question or comment?
Hey, good morning, Sam. Thanks for coming on and informing the Montanians and the rest of the nation on this serious situation. This is a backdoor way for Biden to undermine the Bill of Rights, especially the Second Amendment, because anything in the Bill of Rights could be misconstrued as a threat, as a health threat. If you talk in a certain way on the First Amendment, it stresses people out and causes health issues. Second Amendment, that's obvious. And the rest of the amendments, to me, is certainly taken out of context and as a threat.
They could declare anything as a health emergency. A great question there, a great thought. Sean, thanks for the call. Sorry to make it quick. Sam Faddis, your thoughts?
Well, he's exactly right. Look, that's the point. As sometimes it's hard to wrap our heads around this because it's also ludicrous. On some level, it's kind of hard to take seriously, and then you realize, oh, my God, no, you actually are serious. 100% right. If you establish the principle that you declare a health emergency and all of a sudden we don't have rights anymore, which they pushed very hard during the whole alleged COVID pandemic, okay, well, then everything's gone. And anything that you decide is a health crisis or a health emergency triggers the same powers then. So there is serious discussion of Biden declaring a climate change emergency, declaring that a health emergency. That would, of course, therefore be open-ended in perpetuity and somehow grant to him the authority to suspend all rights and just stomp on individual freedoms.
And of course, if he declares a climate emergency, that would end up putting money right back into the pockets of the communist Chinese leaders, right? Which kind of brings us to kind of the conclusion summary of your column that you wrote for AND magazine, of why would Joe Biden be surrendering to Beijing?
Well, look, I was in the business of espionage for a long time, and the number one, there are a lot of pieces to that, but the number one thing you get paid to do is recruit sources inside target organizations. My job, to convince the guy in Al-Qaeda or Russian intelligence to go to work for us. The Bidens have taken, and obviously the lion's share of that has gone to Joe, a minimum of $31 million from the Chinese Communist Party, and that all came from individuals directly tied to Chinese intelligence. $30-plus million dollars from Chinese spies. Now, I can tell you, as an old spy, that's not charity, man. When you hand a guy $30 million in that business, you get something in return.
Well, and you probably would have promptly lost your job at the CIA if you were taking payments from the communist Chinese like that.
I would not get a job on the loading dock if I had been anywhere near them. That's right.
You should have run for president. What the heck were you thinking, Sam? You know. Speaking of the CIA, I see why am I spacing his name all of a sudden? James O'Keefe. Apparently, he got some undercover video of some guy in the China mission office at the CIA openly admitting how they are going to keep information. They're going to withhold information from President Trump. And so it sounds like that guy already lost his job.
Well, I don't know the guy in the video, and therefore I cannot vouch for that specific information. The phenomenon that the intelligence community has been actively hostile to Trump and withholding information from him, that's documented fact. I can tell you that from multiple personal sources I know. So I can't vouch for this guy, but that they have been screwing with Trump and intend to screw with him if they can continue, that is reality, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, that's right. Well, Sam Faddis, thanks again for your service. Thanks for joining us. I'd encourage everybody to sign up for your AND and magazine newsletter. Always insightful. If you want to be on the leading edge of this type of solid information, Sam Faddis, thanks for your time. Once again, we've got the phone lines open for you for the 9 o'clock hour of Montana Talks right after this.